Chrysler says buongiorno.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, they made it official. Italy's Fiat and the people who bring you the Sebring and PT Cruiser have signed a non-binding agreement. Fiat gets a stake in Chrysler and access to its American assembly lines and market. We're joined by Ashley Milne-Tite, who is following this story. Ashley, how is this all going to work?
So Fiat's planning to take a 35% stake in Chrysler, but interestingly, it's not putting any cash into Chrysler. And a statement from Cerberus Capital Management, which owns Chrysler, makes clear that it really doesn't have any plans to put cash in, at least for the foreseeable future. What it is doing is revamping some of the Chrysler plants so that the two companies can share platforms and technologies.
So no money involved here. What's in it for both of them?
Well, with regard to the revamping of the plants, that could let Fiat make cars here, and it'll help Chrysler produce its own more efficient small cars as well. And they've both been looking for a partner for some time. I mean, they're both trying to compete with bigger rivals like Toyota and Volkswagen that have a much more global presence. But I mean, the main thing for Chrysler is that virtually every Detroit watcher says that despite the loan money that they've got from the government, Chrysler isn't going to be able to make it on its own. It has to change. It has to make smaller cars. And that's exactly where Fiat's expertise lies. I mean, now Chrysler can go to the government and say, look, we're making an effort. We're cutting costs. We're becoming more efficient. We're producing greener cars.
And Ashley, it's been a while since Fiats have been sold in the United States. A long while, right?
Yeah, it's been more than 20 years since they've been sold here, and Fiat's been really keen to get back into the market lately. They're particularly eager to bring back the Alfa Romeo, but the exchange rate has made it too expensive for Fiat to export them to the US, and obviously that would no longer be a problem if the cars were made here. So we could potentially see some Italian style on US highways in the not-too-distant future.
Ashley Milne-Tite joining us from New York. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll have to see how Wall Street reacts to the deal. So far, it looks to be a downer with some selling expected today. The Dow starts the week at 82.81, the NASDAQ at 15.29. In Europe, markets are mixed. London and Frankfurt are up about 0.5%. Paris is down about 0.5%. Asian stocks fell 2.5% and 3%. It looks like Europe will be getting Russian natural gas again after a dispute between Russia and Ukraine halted the flow there. The gas pipeline runs through the former Soviet Republic. And the stalemate has clogged relations among many. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Russia began pumping again after finally striking a deal with Ukraine. The two sides have signed a 10-year contract. Ukraine will pay double the price it paid last year for natural gas, and Russia will pay the Ukrainians higher transit fees. Europeans will be relieved. Over the past 2 weeks, 20 countries have lost supplies. Millions have been without heat. Julian Lee is with the Center for Global Energy Studies. He says that after this dispute, there are no winners.
Both Ukraine and Russia have done very great damage to their reputations as reliable suppliers and transit countries of gas. I think it's been a very sad and sorry exercise for all concerned.
He says Europeans will now step up their efforts to reduce their reliance on Russian gas. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work, and by Medtronic Foundation, now looking for runners benefiting from medical technology to participate in Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon events. Application at medtronic.com/globalheroes.
It is a big day for President-elect Barack Obama and a big day for Washington, D.C. I have it on good authority that people from everywhere are tying up traffic in D.C. this morning. They're trying to position themselves as close to the new first family as humanly and as protectively as possible. Most won't be attending a ball tonight. Money is tight after all, but there will be plenty of other things to do. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
So here you are in downtown Washington. You paid a lot for your plane ticket and hotel room. You don't have the cash or connections for inaugural tickets, so you push your way onto the National Mall near the Capitol. Luckily for you, Obama's inaugural committee paid for huge jumbotrons so you can watch the swearing-in. You can also text the committee for updates on inaugural activities. Stephen Hess is a presidential historian at the Brookings Institution. He says there's a reason Obama is organizing all this fanfare for the common man.
This was a campaign that reached out to everybody, that cut across class, cut across race, and the inauguration's got to reflect that.
It's got to pay for it, too. The inaugural committee gave $700,000 to the Smithsonian Institution so it could open some of its museums early today. The museums are bracing for hordes of visitors. Brent Glass runs the National Museum of American History. Standing protectively in front of a new Lincoln exhibit, Glass is reminded of another president who threw a party for average Joes, Andrew Jackson. He was the last president to throw a huge public party at the White House in 1829. Drunken crowds trashed the place. Glass expects better from the Obama crowd.
They're not going to be drinking as they were in Andrew Jackson's day, where public drunkenness was a problem.
Alcohol will be served at a number of free or low-priced balls sponsored by the inaugural committee. There'll be a neighborhood ball for Washington residents and a half-price youth ball. But inclusiveness is expensive. The inaugural committee's budget is $50 million. That's about $10 million more than the last Bush inauguration. Inaugural committee spokeswoman Linda Douglas says there'll be no cutting the rug at some balls.
We are not putting carpet in one of the balls at all. We are reusing old carpet. We are reusing staging material to put the stages up.
That material could include leftovers from previous inaugurations. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And all the way on the other side of the country in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.